In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. On January 15th of this year, I became a dad. I'll never forget that night. It began at 3 in the morning. My wife woke me up and told me that it was time. I immediately sprang out of bed and I ran into our closet to get dressed. I was standing there for what seemed like hours. This was the day I was going to meet my son for the first time. So many thoughts went swirling through my head over the course of the day, but at 3 a.m., standing in my closet, the only thing I could think of was what pants I would wear. This is the day I'm going to meet Luke for the first time. This is important. First impressions, you only get one chance. I couldn't imagine making that decision in that moment. Maybe it was delaying the inevitable, or maybe it was a little of my anxiety, but I couldn't decide on what pants. I've never been a fashionable guy. I've never put too much thought in my wardrobe, but at that point in time, I found myself looking with utter disgust at all my ratty jeans and dingy khakis. None of my clothes felt fitting for the occasion. And today's gospel reading shows us a man who knew something a little bit about this. This morning, Christ shares a parable with us comparing the kingdom of heaven to a royal marriage feast. The king orders his servants to extend invitations to his son's wedding. Those on the guest list not only declined their invitations, but mocked, seized, and even killed the messengers who brought them. The king, in his anger, sent his armies to go and destroy those wicked would-be guests, and then sent out more servants to invite other people, the good and the bad, to fill his hall for the wedding. But here's where it gets a little interesting. We're used to this parable from St. Luke, and that's where the story ends. But today we're reading from St. Matthew, and the story goes on. Today, St. Matthew tells us in his telling of this story that the king came into the banquet and found someone who didn't belong, found someone who was underdressed, who didn't choose the right pants, I guess. And after questioning him, bound him hand and foot and cast him out into the outer darkness. Some moments in life demand a little bit more of our wardrobe than others. This man committed the faux pas of showing up to a wedding without wearing a wedding garment. But something doesn't seem right here. Is Christ really telling us to pay more attention to our clothing? Christ our Savior didn't care about appearances when he consented to be born in a lowly manger. He didn't worry about what his image looked like when he was mocked, stripped, scourged, and spit upon and crucified on the cross. He didn't care about what he looked like or what his appearance was in those times. So how is he telling us to mind what we're wearing at the wedding feast? That same Lord is talking about a different garment. He's talking about an unseen garment. Stop and think about the parable once more. The imposter was not discovered by some steward of the feast or some master of ceremonies. He was discovered by the king. The king found him. The king questioned him, and the king had him cast out. It wasn't some minister or some servant. It was the king himself. Everyone else didn't notice. No one else saw this man's indecency. No one else could perceive that he wasn't wearing a suitable wedding garment. This garment is something inside him, something that only the King of Kings, the one who knows what lies hidden in the secret hearts of men, could detect. And that's why it's the king who had to cast him out. Think about now anyone who's ever been to a wedding. If I have to, here, actually. Think about the wedding that you've been to. If you saw a man with no shirt and just some stained overalls and a trucker hat walk in, he would never make it past the door. The ushers wouldn't let him in. The family and friends would say, "What are you doing here?" and throw him out. They would escort him out. He would never make it to the bride and the groom. But in this parable, he does, because his outward appearance wasn't the issue. It was his internal garment, his internal nakedness, like we saw in Eden with Adam and Eve. So, what is this wedding garment then? What is this garment that we must make sure that we're wearing? Quite simply, it is love. St. Gregory the Theologian said that it is love that Christ possessed when he gave life to those who was on the wedding list, who were on the guest list. When he created the guests that he would invite, He had love when he was doing it. He did so out of his love. So it's only fitting that those guests would come bearing love as their wedding present to him. And if they didn't, that's not appropriate. That's not fitting. That's unsuitable, and they will be cast out. Think once again of the wedding that we're talking about. It would be inconceivable that someone would come to a wedding and lack love. That's one of the necessary elements to it. That love was not found in the first original guests, the ones who rejected the invitations, but it was found in all those who were poor and meek. Those who couldn't afford fancy clothings had it abundantly. They had love within their hearts. That's one of the few things that humble and meek people have, seemingly more than rich people. Now, there's one last thing that we haven't said about this parable. We know that the king's son was the groom. He was the one being married. But it says nothing about the bride. The guest list weren't just the attendants and the witnesses. They were the brides. Those invited to this wedding feast aren't just there to watch or to witness it. They're there to be married to the son of our Lord, to the Son of God, to the King of Kings himself. Could you imagine going to a wedding feast and seeing the bride in need of a wedding garment? Could you imagine going to a bride and not seeing her in white, in a dress, ready to be married? You wouldn't be able to distinguish her. More so, could you imagine seeing a bride who needed love on her wedding day? Both of those are essential, and that's what we see here as the wedding garment in question. Love is essential. To love is what we must ask of all ourselves. Love is what we must search for within ourselves. It is the price of admission to the wedding feast, and more so, it is the pledge of our marriage to the bridegroom God himself. Today, we have been invited to a wedding feast, not just any wedding feast, but our wedding feast. The good news is, we don't have to worry about what to wear. All we need to dress to impress is love. You can't buy it in any store. You can't check out how it looks in a mirror. It is between you and God alone. Thankfully for me, on January 15th, no matter which pair of jeans I ended up picking, I had plenty of love for my son's birth. May the Lord fill us with his love and find us all acceptable guests at his heavenly banquet, now and forever into the ages of ages. Amen. I thank Father Steve for graciously having me celebrate with him in our home parish and serve as the broto today, which was completely unexpected and not appropriate. So thank you so much, Father. And it always feels like home. And my wife and my son, thank you so much for the hospitality.
Welcome you home with Nicole and little Luke. And it's amazing sometimes, you know, when we first started the community, as Stephen was probably 10, 11-year-old little wise guy, like so many little wise guys that we have in the community, and served in the altar all of his years, and went away to college, got his degree, and then decided to become a priest, and he's become a very good priest, and I'm very proud to that he's was one of my altar boys. But he was always a, what do they call him, overperformer. He's always done well in anything that he's tried to do. And I'm sure that all of you are that don't know him should get to know him at the coffee hour. He's a wonderful young man, a wonderful family. Serving in Boca Raton under Mark Leondas. And they're very, very happy with him. And I think that Father Stephen is happy with Father Mark. But he probably wouldn't say that you weren't, even if you weren't, right?
All right. I'm very happy with Father Mark.
Okay.